peace. I'm sure that it's something that we all long for. But what is peace? How would we define it? The dictionary definition speaks of freedom from war, disorder, strife, of quiet, of tranquility, of calm. I hope we'll see that the peace that God brings is so much more than that. The verse that we read is part of Jesus' words to his disciples at the Last Supper. Part of what John records, he said to them before he was arrested and tried and crucified. Just for a few moments, try and put yourself in the disciples' place. Imagine their confusion. Imagine their turmoil. This man, Jesus, in whom they've invested all their hopes, to whom they've given so much of their lives, has just told them that he's leaving them, that it's going to be good for them that he does so, that they cannot follow where he's going, that one of them will betray him, that Peter, for all his protestations, will deny him, that all of them will desert him, that they will only fully understand who he is and what he is saying and doing later, when he sends them another counselor. What does Jesus say? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Because Jesus knows that their hearts are troubled, that they are afraid. He knows that there'll be times when our hearts are troubled, times when we will be afraid. And the first thing that Jesus, I think, wants us to know is that the world cannot give you peace. There will be those times when our lives feel tranquil and calm, when we feel peaceful. But long or short, those times are temporary. 3 or 4 months ago, most of us had not imagined or anticipated the restrictions on our lives, the lives that would be lost, the redundancies, the jobs furloughed and under threat, the financial hardships, the relationships under pressure that would impact, that would result from the impact of a virus on our society, on our lives. And those are just the visible signs, aren't they? Because under the surface, many have increased feelings of anxiety, insecurity, hopelessness, helplessness, isolation, sadness, for some even bitterness. For many, whatever peace they thought they had has been shattered. It's okay for us to be troubled, to have some doubts, to have fears. That's you tonight, because it's inevitable that sooner or later, all of us, and I'd want to emphasize the all of us, will be assailed by them. Jesus never says that as Christians we'll be exempt from them. And as an aside, we should be very wary of anybody who says that he does. But he never says that we will be exempt from them. Read the Psalms. They're full of anguished prayers that testify to these feelings. Peter, in his letter, his first letter, says, cast all your anxiety on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you. Paul, writing to the Philippians, as we saw a few weeks ago, says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The Psalms, these verses from Paul and Peter, are in Scripture because God knows that there will be times, maybe now, maybe this evening for some of us, when we will feel like this, when we will need to hear these words. The psalmists, Peter, Paul, they all point us back to God. So what does Jesus say? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. The Lord Jesus promises to give you his peace. But the peace that Jesus gives is different. Remember the story of the paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus and had to be lowered through the roof by his friends. I'm sure they brought him to be healed. But what is the first thing that Jesus says to the man? Your sins are forgiven. Jesus identifies the man's sin rather than his physical condition as his greatest problem. We're a bit like the paralyzed man. I'm sure he came hoping, and Jesus did heal him. But that's what he came for. We come to Jesus and we focus on our fears. But Jesus says, no, your sin needs to be dealt with. You need to be put right with God before you can enjoy my peace. A few chapters later in John's Gospel, after Jesus' trial, after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, in John chapter 20, verse 19, we read, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace, that same peace, be with you. It's a word of greeting, but so much more. Jesus' peace, the peace of heart and mind, which he'd shown as he went to the cross, was now secured by his death and resurrection for the disciples and for all who will repent and believe in him. The peace of knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that we have been reconciled to God. Paul, writing to the Romans, says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The world is powerless to give us peace because it cannot reconcile us to God. It cannot deal with the sin which is the root cause of our troubles and our fears. Jesus goes on, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Our peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us. He's called us. He's forgiven us. He will hold us fast in all circumstances. He is in control. That's our confidence. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, if he's not yet your Lord, if he's not yet your Saviour, then he says, come to me. Bring your fears and your troubles to me. Trust me. Receive my forgiveness. Receive my peace. Some words from Psalm 75. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge rightly. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who holds its pillars firm. Your name is near. God has graciously disclosed his name to us. It reveals who he is. We see who God is in the deeds that he does. Those recounted in Scripture. But we also need to encourage one another by testifying to what God has done and is doing in our lives. We live in times when the earth and all its people are quaking. We need to remember, as the psalmist says, that God appoints the times. God always acts righteously. God holds the pillars firm. A quote, some words written by Alec Mateer about this psalm, but speak to our situation. We are to tell ourselves not how horrible life is, how unfairly I have been treated, how insupportable my sorrow is, but how kingly, saving, powerful, how provident, how totally in charge God is, how fully in command of history, how secure is his world, how subservient to him are earth's arrogant powers. They speak of a God in charge, a God who makes all the decisions, a God fully and truly God. God worth trusting. Is that your God? Is that my God? And why is this so important? Because it gives us a right perspective. We may be in danger of being overwhelmed by the stresses, the cares, the troubles that we face. We may struggle to see a way forward. But we have a God who is in total charge. A Father who says, trust me. We have a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us so much that he died upon a cross to pay the price for our sins, that we might be reconciled to his Father. Our Father. The Saviour who has promised to hold us fast. The Saviour who even now is interceding for us. The Saviour who says, trust me. We're indwelt by the same Holy Spirit who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, who is able to minister the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ promised. The peace which transcends all understanding to us. What does Jesus say? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Why would you not? Amen.